because there's too much negativity. Too much negativity. Negativity?
Man. Yeah.
Negativity. On in football and on Twitter and stuff. So I'm going to be optimistic.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich made a pretty terrible showing of themselves yesterday in a 1-0 loss to Spanish side Villarreal in the first round of their Champions League quarterfinals tie. The Bavarians looked largely toothless and disinterested throughout, and many even suggest Julian Nagelsmann's men are lucky the Yellow Submarine didn't win by a larger scoreline. And of course, we have to come here to talk about that. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, lots to talk about today, and usually when I say that, it kind of has a good connotation, but maybe not so much today. I'm sure, listener, you're going to hear some hot takes. You may hear some moderate takes, but bear with us throughout because we got a lot to cover today, all focusing on Bayern's pretty dismal performance against Villarreal in the Champions League yesterday, losing 1-0 away from home against the Spanish division, or the Spanish La Liga's, I think, like seventh team right now. It was not pretty, to say the least. And so I'm struggling to make sense of the game, even after watching it yesterday and dwelling on it a little bit. I mean, Bayern were completely toothless. It seemed like hardly any of the players had the passion, looked up for it. And there's a lot of poor matches in Bayern's history, but I think for a lot of people, this one really, really seems to stand out. And so, Tim, why don't you, I guess, kind of walk us through the game yesterday, your thoughts on, you know, what went wrong, what happened, was it really even as bad as some people are making it out to be? Just, yeah, what's kind of, I guess, your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I think the big question that gets asked is it the manager? Is it the players? I think it's a combination of a number of things. I think when something like this happens, much like the Gladbach game in the cup, when you experience a loss as significant as this, granted Villarreal scored 4 fewer goals than Gladbach, but when something like this happens, you kind of have to start thinking there has to be something to blame, but chances are it isn't one individual issue. I think it's a combination of a number of things. So yes, it is an issue with the tactics. I think that I guess Bayern have been playing with a three-man back line for a while now, like a good few weeks now, but probably even a good couple of months, and then suddenly that changes. I find that quite unusual. I don't think I really like it. I get that Alphonso Davies is technically fit to play, but surely he is one of the players in the squad that would really, really benefit from a three-man back line. I think it gives him the agency to go forward and defend with the sort of propensity that he does. So why that changed, I know it kind of changed a bit at the weekend as well, but it was unusual that it was this quite significant tactical change from how we had been used to seeing Bayern play. So yeah, there's certainly issues with the tactics, but at the same time, there is this bigger issue with the players, which seems to be happening. I don't know. I think it's something that happens in cycles with the club, where you have players that for some reason or another, they just don't really look interested. And I think I've said this like in a couple of places before. I think I've said it on Reddit or on Twitter or anywhere somebody's willing to listen to me, is that you shouldn't have to motivate these guys to be there. I get that it is a big part of being a manager, like you have to make the guys want to like play for you, and I know that's what Hansi Flick did very, very well, but I at the same time I don't think that that's something that a Bayern manager should have to do. If you're not motivated to play in a quarterfinal of the Champions League, in a match in the quarterfinals of the Champions League for Bayern Munich, a team that could potentially go on to win, you know, one of the favourites, if you're not up for it, if your body language is showing that you're kind of disinterested or really only half-heartedly there, that's not good. That's really quite terrible. And you can somewhat pin that on the manager, but at the same time, that's an individual thing. That's something that's wrong with the players. That's I guess it's a mentality thing. So on top of that, I think there's also a big issue in terms of, is this squad, like the squad as a whole, is it fit to carry on? And then that kind of goes beyond the manager, it goes beyond the players. And if anything, it kind of points a finger to like the senior management or the people that are in charge of the club. Have these people done enough to ensure that Bayern have got a squad to compete? And I don't think they have. We've seen more suspect defending. I keep going back to this argument that since Mats Hummels left, Bayern have spent 150 million players. 150 million players. That's far too many players. They've spent 150 million euros on defenders since Mats Hummels left. And honestly, I don't think any of them have really provided the same sort of level or leadership or consistency that he brought. So then you have to start raising the question, what's all this for? There's a police car going by, so I guess I'm being arrested for bringing up a rival team's player. No, good, I think I'm fine. I don't know. I think there are big issues within that go beyond the manager and the players. And I think you have to look at how the club has managed like squad planning. I think if you were to compare this team to Liverpool, and you can see that they've clearly been building something over a period of time, getting in guys like Mane and then Salah, improving the defence with guys like Van Dijk, then getting suitable depth with guys like Konate, and then really improving the midfield. It's not something that has to be done overnight, but it's something that can be done. And really, I think Bayern have really fallen short of the mark. And that's probably like the thing that maybe most people aren't really going to be looking at. I think it's either like, oh, it's the manager or it's the players. I think you have to not lose sight of the fact that the squad planning and building over a long period of time has meant that results like this are probably going to be quite likely. But yeah, I've also got like a bunch of other opinions, but I figure, you know, we like to keep the episodes to under an hour, and there are other people here, so I'll bow out until I'm called upon.
Well, real quick, I'm gonna come back to you real quick, because you talked about certain players not being up for it. But was it something that you saw kind of across the board yesterday, or were there some standout offenders? Was there maybe a couple players that stood out on the opposite side of the spectrum that they did seem up for it? I just wondering if anybody stood out one way or the other.
Yeah, there are a couple of players that stood out as, I remember saying that like only a few people, I think like three or four players, can leave that game thinking that they have put in a Bayern Munich worthy performance. And that's Kingsley Coman. Jamal Musiala, he wasn't at his best, but you know, if you're pinning your hopes in the midfield on this kid without wishing to sound at all patronising towards him, something is wrong when he is one of the most important players on the pitch. But I don't know, maybe it's not something wrong. Maybe that kind of negates my argument that squad planning hasn't been brilliant. I think him coming to the club is a masterstroke. I think he's such a great player. I think it's like Coman, it's Musiala. I think Kimmich has probably got an argument to say that he certainly worked hard. I think much like Hummels and also guys like Vidal, even on their worst days, you can tell that they're still working. Like they, even if they know that they're not doing well, they still want to try and rectify it. Whereas other players are like perhaps prone to just giving up. And I also think like Lucas Hernandez was responsible for a number of good saves, as was Davies. This wasn't his best game. Why would it be? He's been out for three or 4 months and somehow managed to play 90 minutes. There was enough to suggest he will be fine. Like he's not really like missed a step. Like he was a bit rusty, but he was still trying the things that he's good at, and that was great. But in terms of the negatives, Lewandowski completely invisible. There's that whole argument of like, oh, he's not getting the service. Even if he was getting the service, he wasn't providing the service to the people that are in better opportunities. I remember you pointed out that Sané was in really good space, could have got a shot away. Lewandowski went for the selfish mode. You know, this is a discussion that's been had probably by myself and like a few other people that in the past might have been less pro Lewandowski. I think back to like the Real Madrid games in Jupp Heynckes' final season. Very, very frustrating to watch. Lewandowski, really, really unfortunate performance. Thomas Müller, another one. I know that it's really not good to slander this guy, but nobody should ever be should be above criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last night Thomas Müller's performance was really, really poor. But it's all of the people that you want being great leaders and setting an example really, really let the team down.
I would have to agree with most of the names that you listed there, particularly with Lewandowski and Müller, and we may come back to them in a little bit, but their performance yesterday was not up to their standard, but it's also not the first, I guess, bad sign we've seen from them this season. But I want to go back and talk a little bit about the tactics, if you will. Talk a little bit about Julian Nagelsmann, and we've talked a lot about him this season, fittingly so, Sebastian, and how he's kind of gone back and forth from a back three to a back four, and the system's changed, and like Tim brought up, it seemed like that back three was finally working. And then yesterday and over the weekend, it was back to that back four, even after he brought Alphonso Davies back in. What do you think's going on there? Do you think maybe he still isn't even sure how he wants this, his Bayern team to line up? Do you think he may have kind of pulled a Pep Guardiola and overthought the match a little bit? But also, you know, how much do you think falls on, how much responsibility for the loss falls on Nagelsmann's shoulders here?
I think there's definitely a relatively large part of the blame that should be directed at Nagelsmann, I feel, because I really didn't think he was helping the club by playing with a four-man back line, especially without Nianzu, because I think what made that back line work in the last game was that there was one guy there who kind of gave directions and kind of was more like the eyes and the mind of that back line and was trying to keep everything working, keep an eye on everything. And I think Hernandez just is not someone who will do that for you. Maybe Upamecano could be that, but he definitely wasn't that on the weekend. And I don't think he was it in this match. I think I would probably just have had like a three-man back line there because I think, yeah, it had been working and it's the better lineup for Davies. And I think, yeah, you just I don't see what we're losing here. The only kind of valid reason to say okay, let's go for the four-man back line would have been that Davies was out, but he's not out anymore, and he started and he played for 90 minutes. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think we were helping ourselves very much here. I definitely think that was a major issue. Even if I don't know, many outlets I think are giving our back line kind of the better grades compared to some other players on the field, which I find very interesting. It is very rare that like the opinions of people who played well and who didn't play well, like comparatively, are so very different. I think an important part here is how people saw this game and what the stats say. Just that's two completely different things, right? I mean, somebody looking at the stats for this game would never think that the consensus is strongly in favor of Villarreal scoring more than this one goal, right? I find that very, very weird a bit, and I guess I'm probably of the four of us, maybe the guy who's not quite as negative about this game as the others. Of course, I mean, don't get me wrong here, I'm definitely pretty negative about this game. I definitely didn't like what I saw. But I'm not in the camp of, Villarreal should have scored one or two goals more. I don't think that's quite accurate. I mean, of course, they tried to play this kind of football, where they give possession to Bayern. But yeah, that's always risky, of course. And it's not like they created just a huge number of big chances. I just didn't see that there either. So I think we need to have a clear view of what happened there and not go overboard and say, everything was bad, because that's not helpful, right? We really need to find the things that were actually the problem, and it's probably not like 10 huge things that we need to change. It's probably a number of smaller things that will make a huge difference. And I think, yeah, the lineup was a bit of a problem. I also think that while I like Musiala and I like Kimmich, I'm not sure it was the best thing for this match, because yeah, we had major problems in the middle, but we also had major problems like spreading the ball around where we would need it, getting explosive, getting dynamic on offense. And I think it would have been better to have had some changes there, maybe even just have one of Müller or Musiala, or have both, and then then you would of course have to like maybe either Coman or Gnabry off with a three-man back line. There are several ways you could go about this, of course. But yeah, overall, a pretty, pretty frustrating experience there, I must say. But I think I also want to mention something positive here, and I think Davies, I expect him to make major steps here and be back next time already looking much better. And that could already make a huge difference. Because I think the guys on the wings, they were just a bit overmatched here, kind of fixing that alone with Lewandowski not looking great. Müller is usually the guy who's not looking great if the guys around him are just not trying enough, right? Because the best thing that Müller can do is playing these very, very deadly passes. But of course, you can only play those passes if there's someone ready to start into the open space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if that doesn't happen enough, of course, there's not much you can do if you're Thomas Müller there. Of course, he's one of the guys who's loud on the field. He's one of the players who's going to motivate the others, who's going to tell them what they're supposed to do. But yeah, I think there was just this kind of lack of, trusting in themselves, trying, daring, and just making the step and just risking it at some point. Of course, there are reasons for that. When Villarreal was very much strong on the counter, of course. But yeah, I think you just need to dare. You just need to try. If you don't try, all that possession is going to be for nothing. And yeah, that's kind of what we saw there. Of course, you all know that I'm not the biggest fan of playing for
mm-hmm.
very high possession. The possession wasn't even that high, but I think Bayern very much played for that possession. And that's also a thing that kind of played into what Villarreal was trying to do here.
Yeah, it's going back to your, it's what you brought up about differing opinions on the game. I think that, and I had mentioned this in our chat yesterday, I think it's the fact that it was Villarreal who was supposed to be, you know, the easiest possible draw that Bayern could have got. It was supposed to be this easy match, and it's a Champions League night, and Bayern go in, and it's just kind of dull. I think expectations were this should be, all things considered, a pretty easy Bayern win, and so it's not like they, you know, were disappointing against the Real Madrid, against a Chelsea, a Barcelona, any other, you know, big team that you want to throw in there. It was against a Villarreal side that really shouldn't have caused too much of an issue anyway, but yet it was really bad. It was really woeful. And so, Garrett, we've kept you waiting. We haven't come to you yet, but I got to ask you, you know, after getting the results of the match, seeing how it played out, and thinking back over to the course of this entire season, is it really that big of a surprise? Like, is this really the first kind of sign of trouble that we've seen from this Bayern team this season? Or are we kind of seeing more of the same, more of some sort of other warning signs that we've seen all throughout the season?
Well, I think, first of all, just kind of as a caveat, that I didn't watch the game. I got to listen to some of it on a radio feed, and then went back and watched some of the highlights. And the things that stood out to me was it didn't look to me like or sound to me like the guys weren't trying so much as it just, the team looked stale. Even from the highlights, it just looked like we were trying the same things and didn't really come up with any new ideas on how to break down Villarreal, and that was somewhat concerning because it seemed like, as you guys all mentioned, Lewandowski was not good. Müller has been struggling. They've both been kind of on a little bit of a run of bad form, and some of that might be because I know Lewandowski's been dealing with a shoulder thing, I think, which, you know, does have an effect, but it's not an excuse. He's still been poor. But I think that we've been kind of seeing these issues a little bit over the course of this calendar year. I think a lot of that has to do with the health of the squad, and it seems like Bayern are starting to get healthy again, which is encouraging. But I do think it, not that the defense was a problem. Obviously, losing 1-0, it could be a lot worse. Bayern is still in a really good spot to advance to the next round of the tournament. I'm actually more on the side of Sebastian with this, in terms of, you know, obviously we're not happy with the result, and obviously there are plenty of players that you look at and say, what kind of performance was that? But overall, losing 1-0, if Bayern are going to have a game like this where they play poorly, and the makeup of the team that you kind of have been worried about all season, or not all season, but a good chunk of the season, it kind of rears its ugly head. You only lose 1-0. There's a second leg coming up at home. I'm not too worried about it. But as far as like those issues that I think we've kind of been seeing, is just, I look at that back line and just see a disorganized group that has a lot of good players, but there's just no organizer. And I kind of brought it up in the chat, like right before we recorded, but I do look at the guys that are on that back line and the guys that are rumored to be signed and the guys that are on loan even, and see a lot of young, athletic, physical center backs and fullbacks, and I think there's a lot to like there, but it doesn't seem like there is the David Alabas, the Jerome Boatengs, the Mats Hummels, the Philip Lahms, you know, guys that obviously great players in their own right, but the issue that I'm thinking we're seeing is just there's no organization. It seems like they all have a general idea of where they're supposed to be, but I don't know who that guy is that's organizing that back line and getting them where they need to be and making sure that they're keying in on the things that they need to key in on. These are professional athletes. They know what they're doing, but at the same time, there has to be that guy on the pitch that can kind of get guys where they need to be and get guys in the right headspace. And I think to some degree, you're going to get some of that from Manuel Neuer, you know, from behind them. But as the goalkeeper, there's only so much he can do. And Thomas Müller, you would expect to be kind of that organizing leader to some degree as well, but he's further up the pitch. And so, like, to me, I just look at kind of what you're saying, Tim, like there's kind of from further up into the organization, it seems like there's a lot of good things happening, but there's these missing pieces about how to gel this team together and get the right kinds of intangibles together. That's kind of what I saw from not just this match. I mean, this match, I mean, there was a lot to it. I think as the game went on, it seemed like I think you said it, Ben, actually, in a chat, that it looked like they were trying to walk the ball into the net or pass the ball in rather than just shooting on net and seeing what happens, because nothing else was working. And that was frustrating. But we've seen this issue in as far as the back line looking shaky. I know that Villarreal only scored one goal, but there was a goal that was disallowed. There was a couple other grade A chances. I mean, they could have had two or three. I think fairly conservatively, they could have had three. But thank goodness for a post and for offside rules. But yeah, I just think that there's some disorganization and this team looks stale. I think that they need to infuse a little bit of creativity into the way that they're attacking. I don't know how you do that. That's why they pay Julian Nagelsmann the big bucks. But they look stale. They need organization. Those are my two main takeaways.
Well, that's kind of what I want to shift the conversation to right now anyways. You know, thankfully, there's a second leg to this tie, and Bayern are far from being out of it. As a matter of fact, I think that if it wasn't for just how poor Bayern was, I think most people would still call Bayern the favorites. And I think that Bayern are probably still going to be called the favorites by most people anyway. But the question has to be asked, okay, what do we do to, you know, make this better in the second leg? What changes need to take place? Because obviously we can't sign a defensive leader between now and then. And I know, Tim, you had put this out on Twitter. Anyway, you don't think that the problem lies in defense so much as it does that area right in front of defense. So I'm going to come back to you anyway to start with you. You know, if you're Julian Nagelsmann, what changes do you think need to take place between, you know, today and Tuesday to make sure that we don't see a similar sort of performance? Or do you even think it's possible to get everything back on track and together in that short amount of time?
Yeah, so just to clarify that, my belief isn't that the defense is the issue, but rather the defense is like horrendously exposed by the fact that the double pivot of Joshua Kimmich and Jamal Musiala, they're essentially playing as two number 10s and there's no one behind it. So that means that the whoever is the defensive line, they've got themselves. That's it. There's no defensive cover in the same way that, I hate to bring it up again, but in the same way that Liverpool have got Fabinho, Real Madrid have got Casemiro, like you have all of these, even like Chelsea with Jorginho, you have, maybe we need somebody whose name ends in O. I think that's clearly the solution. But I think like we need to have somebody that can, sorry?
We crack the case.
Yeah, that's it. It's as simple as that.
Leon Goretzka.
He's not he's a good player.
Not Thiago.
Not Thiago. Like, well, even so, like he was somebody that would just, that if he was told to, he would just sit in that area. And even if he isn't the most defensively secure, at least you had another player to get past. But yeah, I agree. I don't think the solution is somebody like Thiago. I do think the solution is a strictly defensive midfielder whose job is to just cover that role. The issue, though, is that Bayern's best defensive midfielder is a number 10. Like, it's Joshua Kimmich. Like, he is a very advanced playmaker, but he's the most withdrawn advanced playmaker. And so it's difficult. But then that raises the question of, okay, well, what do you do with the other very advanced playmaker in Thomas Müller? And I know that I wasn't wonderfully complimentary of him in this game. In all honesty, I don't think he's been that good in the past few weeks. I think pretty much since he had COVID, he hasn't really seemed to deliver the same sort of level that he has been known for. And that in itself is its own issue. But in terms of what I would do going forward, it probably sounds absolutely ridiculous. And the solution isn't bring back Rafinha, even though as much as I'd love that. I think the solution is play Mark Rocca, or at least have somebody play the same way that Mark Rocca would do, because he's one of the very few players in this squad that does something that nobody else does, in so much as he will sit in that area and he will be able to cover it, and he'll be able to tidy up and will offer that extra level of security for the quite suspect defenders that we've got at the moment. The issue with that, though, is that you still need the creativity of Joshua Kimmich, the dynamism of Jamal Musiala. So that does come at the expense of, and it's very painful to say it, it comes at the expense of Thomas Müller. Because the way that he played last night, quite frankly, I get that what he offers sometimes is completely intangible and almost invisible at times. But at the moment, he is just getting in the way of Musiala and Joshua Kimmich. Like, if you were to look at the average positions or like the heat maps for those three guys, they're all basically on top of each other. And if you can have somebody like Kimmich, who is almost guaranteed to play at worst a 7.5 out of 10, you need to have that guy in there. And as for Musiala, you need to have him because he is so good. Like, he's so, well, he is the as close to a replacement to Thiago as you can really get at this point. So I think that it's ridiculous to even suggest it, but I do think that what Nagelsmann could potentially explore on Tuesday is playing that very secure three-man midfield that has Mark Rocker, Joshua Kimmich, Jamal Musiala, or Leon Goretzka, either or. I imagine Goretzka will be fine. Like, I know he got a cut at the end of the game, but he'll probably be fit. And then play three on top of that. Sané on the left, Koeman on the right, Lewandowski in the middle, ideally doing something. But yeah, it's not easy. But I think it's, if anything, I think it is a very simple solution that that is just very, very unfortunate, because it might potentially start like the conversations of how much longer does Müller have at the club, and I don't want to be the guy to have that conversation.
You're going to be the guy who started those conversations is what it sounds like to me, so
I've really only got myself to blame. It's the consequences of my own actions, mm-hmm. which I was hoping to avoid.
I don't think you need to bench Müller necessarily. I think you probably are in a situation where he's on a pretty short leash, and I think, you know, you have, like, for me, I don't disagree that they need to shore up that spot in front of the center backs. Like, to me, I think you start Goretzka instead of Musiala, and you have that Kimmich Goretzka midfield working again, because when they were both healthy and both going, that's the best, you know, midfield pairing in the world, or among the best in the world, and so to me, you put that in, and they have their defined roles of. It just seemed like they play well with each other. When one is going off and attacking, the other one knows to stay back, and vice versa. So to me, it might be as simple as plug in Goretzka from the get go, and then you have Müller in front of them, just like, you know, we normally would have. And if he doesn't have it, I mean, I'd be okay with pulling him, you know, in the first half, if you felt like it's just not happening today. But I think you have to keep rolling with him until he, you know, works himself out of this, this form, or, you know, he proves that it's not, this is his new form, you know. If that's the case, then so be it. But I think he's earned the right, even within this year, to work himself out of it a little bit. And so for me, it's as simple as Goretzka in the midfield to start. And then I think, you know, the way that it played out, and I'm probably going to flip this, but if you have Sané starting from the on the right, and Coman on the left, I think then that kind of helps with some of that creativity that it seemed like we were lacking. And I am the biggest Gnabry fan of the four of us, for sure. But I think, you know, you guys mentioned it after the Freiburg match, that he just seems to be much more impactful off the bench, at least currently, than our other wing options. So I think I agree with that. I think he needs to be coming off the bench. I think because, like you said, Ben, we can't sign a defensive leader and organizer at this point. I think you're just going to have to hope that that Goretzka Kimmich pairing is the solution for now. And if they're both at the top of their game, I think it is the solution. And they just got to get more out of Lewandowski and Müller at that point, which I think history would say that you're going to.
Huh. I gotta say, I'm a bit shocked that you're also ready to drop Thomas Müller here. I find it to be the more natural solution. The thing that comes to mind, like first, would be to just take Gnabry off, I guess, because I think most people would agree that he had an awful game too. Many outlets see him as having had the worst day compared to Thomas Müller there, and I think you don't really need him when you have Davies on that side. So I feel like what you do is you go back to the 3-4-3. You take Gnabry off, basically, and Davies pushes up a bit more. And then you can choose who you're going to put in there. I mean, I would be fine with Goretzka if it's clear that both these guys have to do a bit more work in defense and cannot push up as much as they would like to. Or you go with Roca, or maybe you go with Nianzu. That's also a thing that I could see. It's a shame that he didn't get many shots at defensive midfield, but I think he could also be the guy who's sitting back there, giving Kimmich more freedom to roam, basically. I could also see that work, especially because he would then also be in a position to give directions a bit, like to tell the defense where to be, what to do back there. I could also see that work, and I think we're losing more when we're taking Müller off than we are losing when we're taking Gnabry off right there. So I think that's what I would prefer if we are trying to shore up the defensive midfield there.
No, I agree, Sebastian, in that just the most logical answer right now for me is to go back to what has looked the best this season, and that's that 3-4-3, you know, whatever it is, it's the back three. And we hit on this earlier, but it makes zero sense in my mind that Alphonso Davies comes back and we start him and play him 90 minutes, but make him play as a what should have been a more defensive left back instead of putting him in the 3-4-3 role that he was absolutely killing it in earlier this season. And especially given Kingsley Coman's form and the way that he's looked playing the Joker role as well, why not put him on the right, Coman on the left? And then, you know, with Kimmich and Goretzka both hopefully being fit for the upcoming game, them as a midfield pivot, put Leroy Sané back in the position that he's been playing the best in this season, that kind of half-space role, Lewandowski up front, Thomas Müller, where he was excelling as well. And that seems to make the most sense to me. But like you said, I also agree, if we're going back four, let's get a defensive midfielder in there. I'm a bigger fan of a 4-3-3 with a defensive mid than I am a 4-2-3-1 right now, especially given the way that our midfielders tend to play. So I hesitate to say I would like to see Roca simply because he just doesn't have the minutes underneath his belt, but I do think he's capable, and I think that a trio with him at the base of it wouldn't be bad. But I mean, what makes most sense to me is go back to the back three with Davies on the left, Coman on the right, and I mean, it shouldn't be that hard for Bayern, I would say, to get back on track from there. But you brought up Serge Gnabry. I didn't do it, so I'm not going to take the blame for being a Gnabry hater. But I would agree. I think he was pretty dreadful yesterday, and it's so crazy to look at his stats and see how comparatively how many goals he scored this season, and still say he's been a disappointment. But I do want to tie it in a little bit with what's going on outside of the games for just a second, and that's that his contract talks have kind of stalled. According to reports, he's asking for like $20 million a year. The club's $5 million away, offering him, you know, $15 million at this point. And I'll leave this one to open to whoever wants to address this first. But are we at a stage where we just say, okay, we need to send him on, or has he earned the right to be paid in the category of someone even like Kingsley Coman right now?
Well, for me, I think he deserves to be paid at least like Kingsley Coman, because although Coman's definitely been better the course of the last 7 months, I think Gnabry's been more productive, and so that has to count for something. And Coleman hasn't been as injury prone as he has, you know, previously. So that's good, but I think that that's still somewhat of a concern at the very least. And so for me, I would say that he's worth being paid at least like Kingsley Coman. I don't know that 20 million is, I think 20 million might be a little high, and obviously they're going to come in at, you know, what at a high number and then try to work down to a number they're happier with. But so the way that I look at this, a little bit more, you know, kind of going back to what I mentioned about the Villarreal game, I do think that this staleness that I've, because this is the best way that I can think to describe how it, this team looks sometimes, is the staleness on off, and the attack. I could see them moving along from a guy like Gnabry, and bringing in somebody a little bit, you know, more, getting more time for Musiala. Let's just go that route. Getting more time for Musiala either as a winger, or, you know, pushing Muller out a little bit wider and bringing Musiala in more that way. I think that those are all options on the table. And I think because of what we've talked about, how recently Gnabry's been much more impactful off the bench, I don't think he's going to want to play that role, though, especially when he can go to probably, you know, some upper level Premier League team and start. I think he that's probably where he'd like to be. And so I'm more on board with letting him move along in the summer. And as much as I don't love it, because I think he's been so good for Bayern and he's been so productive. I mean, we're talking about a summer where if Lewandowski, for example, to add him to this conversation, if Lewandowski and Gnabry move along this summer because we know we're not going to get him signed, that's, as of right now, that's 43 Bundesliga goals, mm-hmm. I think. And so this Bayern squad looks incredibly different. And so, I don't love that idea, but I also don't love the staleness that I'm seeing. And if that's going to kind of be what shakes it up a little bit, even if that means Bayern are going to kind of struggle to get results for a little while, I'm not 100% against that. And I just want to, and I also want to see Gnabry playing more often. So if that means somewhere else, and it can help Bayern get funds to bring in some more players like we've been talking about needing, then I think that's good. I mean, obviously, after the match on Saturday and on Tuesday, we might be singing a completely different tune, because that's just the way that football works. But that's where I'm at right now.
I mean, I think the 20 is just a bit much. I feel like he also needs to know that he hasn't done everything we would want him to do, right? I think it was probably a bit problematic how much we paid Sané, especially with him not being brilliant in his first season, but that's just how it is. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to sign him. So, well, that's just... Well, that has happened, right? We cannot change that. But we should be kind of careful to just pay players a huge amount of money and, yeah, not base that on any kind of performance. And I just think he has not been as good as Kingsley Coman right now. And, yeah, I think we should definitely meet somewhere in the middle, even if it is just to kind of send a message, like to... manage expectations there, because we cannot be in the business of paying players more and more just because they're still at the club, right? I mean, we can pay them more, of course. That's just how it is, right? Like, budgets get bigger every year, basically. But on top of that, you cannot just go even further with that. There needs to be some kind of limit for that. And I think he really needs to understand that, too, that he's right now not on the level that Kingsley Coman is on. And I just think he needs to settle for a bit less, maybe, because that would be an honest and fair thing to do. And if he's not ready to go down this honest and fair route, maybe we can let him walk there. That's then just how it is, I suppose. Of course, it would be both interesting, but also a bit scary what would come after he leaves. Because, yeah, it's not an easy position to get a new guy for, I think. Would be interesting to see, especially not quite knowing what we're going to expect of that guy. Are we going to play this 3-4-3 system? Are we looking for a proper winger? What are we looking? What kind of things are we expecting from the guy who we're getting to replace him? That would be an interesting thing, but of course, you also have to see that in the context of what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years in terms of building the squad, in terms of transfers. You could, of course, as I've mentioned, go down the route of maybe if you're losing the best striker in the world or something, or if you're losing someone you cannot really replace, like Thomas Müller, maybe you need to go all out on getting a very, very, very good winger, maybe improving on Serge Gnabry. Of course, that would be very tough, but that's also something I think we should keep in mind, that could also be an option there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the thing that has to be taken in consideration is what happens between now and the end of the season, because I think that's going to have a large impact on what happens over the summer and obviously also what Julian Nagelsmann wants and how he sees this team. But I guess to give a more myopic view to the conversation, Nagelsmann, Bayern, they need to focus on the upcoming games on Saturday, first against Augsburg, but then more importantly on Tuesday against Villarreal, because if that one goes poorly again, the entire conversation shifts in a big direction. But luckily for you, the listener, we will be here to talk about it. But I'm sure we could spend more time on this conversation, but we do need to end it there. And so if you've enjoyed listening, if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Or follow us over on Twitter at SuperBayernPod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening, go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.